Today's episode is sponsored by Morgan Stanley. Access to healthcare technology can enable more economic pursuits. These healthcare innovations also present opportunities for investors. Learn more at morganstanley.com/inclusive technology. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, and Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, members SIPC.
Opening bell in about 20 seconds. Let me just set the stage for you.
Money, money, I want more money.
You cannot have it all.
This whole system is too confusing.
Hi, I'm Ben White, and this is Politico Money.
Chairman Powell, again, welcome, and you are now recognized to give an oral presentation of your testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I want to affirm my continued support for the objectives assigned to us by Congress, maximum employment and price stability, and for transparency about the Federal Reserve's policies and programs.
That was Fed Chair Jay Powell from his opening remarks to the House Financial Services Committee on Tuesday. It was Powell's first big public performance since taking over from Janet Yellen as chair of the Fed, the world's most important and powerful central bank. Powell did a perfectly solid job. He gently nudged markets toward the idea that there could be more rate hikes this year than they expect. He dodged Democrats' attempts to get him to criticize the debt and deficit impacts of the GOP tax plan, while quietly suggesting that it might not be the greatest idea for the economy to deport 800,000 undocumented immigrants. And mostly, he was dull and boring, and avoided any gaffes or unwanted headlines, perhaps a Fed chair's number one job. The last thing you want to do is surprise people or surprise markets or do anything embarrassing, and Powell certainly avoided all of that. On today's episode, we'll be diving deeper into the new Fed chair's testimony, but before we do that, I wanted to explore just who this guy is. Who is Jay Powell? Why is he the head of the central bank, and why should we care about him? My guest today is Glenn Hubbard, dean of the business school at Columbia and a longtime colleague of Powell's. Glenn will walk us through the experiences that inform Powell's economic outlook and what we can expect from the Jay Powell Fed. Okay, Glenn Hubbard, tell us, who is Jay Powell and why is he the right guy to head the Fed right now?
We met in the George H.W. Bush Treasury Department. We both worked for Secretary Brady, Nicholas Brady. Jay was in charge of domestic finance and I was in tax policy. And there were a lot of efforts at the time in Treasury that cut across units, so we certainly had the chance to talk and work together. He has incredible political skill, and I mean that as a compliment. In other words, he brings people together. He can reach across the aisle. He had done so in work just before going to the Fed and in all of his time at the Fed. So I think given what the Fed is doing of navigating difficult economic and financial decisions in a very tough political climate, Chairman Powell is exactly the right person.
And he doesn't have the traditional resume, at least recent tradition. The Fed chair has an economics background, hasn't always been the case. But Jay Powell is not an economist, lawyer by training and an investment banker. Why is it okay that we have a non-economist Fed chair now?
Well, I think there are a number of skills that go into making up a successful Fed chair, and certainly knowledge of the workings of the economy is high up on that list, but one can have that without necessarily having a PhD in economics. I think it's important for the board to have diversity, you know, some people coming from the economics profession, some coming from business or other financial services areas. So I think the question is the whole team. And keep in mind, of course, the Fed also has a staff of very talented economists.
Yep. And tell us, how is he likely to be different from Janet Yellen? The argument when President Trump decided to make a move and go away from Yellen and pick Jay Powell is that he's obviously, you know, comes from the Republican side of the aisle, might be slightly more conservative on monetary policy, but won't be a big shift away from the policies of Janet Yellen. How will Jay Powell be different from Janet Yellen?
Well, I think it's first important to start with one important way in which they're the same. I think they will both be high integrity, very transparent people. They're both able to speak their mind quite clearly in public and private. So I think that's a good thing they share in common. In terms of differences, while I expect Chairman Powell to keep on the path at the moment that the Fed was on, I think he will react to what he sees as shifts in the economy. If the economy were to be stronger than people believed, or underlying growth were faster, I think he would certainly pivot. So I think one can't walk away saying that monetary policy won't change at all under a Chairman Powell. It would depend very much on the economy.
And do you think there'll be a tension there between Chairman Powell and the Fed and the White House and Republicans in Congress, if indeed economic growth does speed up? They would obviously like to see the economy be able to run hot for a little while, assuming that would sort of help their electoral situation in 2018 and 2020. Do you think there could be tension between what the Trump administration wants and what Chair Powell thinks he might have to do if economic growth starts moving faster and inflation moves up a little bit more?
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, inflation is still under the Fed's target. It is on track to cross a 2% core PCE number, perhaps later this year. But that seems to me very gradual. And I think that if the tax bill that just got passed has important productivity effects, which is why many economists, including myself, supported it, that doesn't strike me as a classic aggregate demand argument for the Fed to be leaning against it. So I think the Fed will have to see, and I think Chairman Powell would have to see. So I don't think the tension is baked in the cake at all, at least at this point.
And tell us just a little bit about what he's like as a guy. You've worked with him and spent time with him. I've heard that he's very easy to get along with, very collegial as a colleague, and will be that way at the Fed and moving towards consensus rather than driving his own view. What's your experience been like with him as a person?
Well, I would agree with the way you characterized it. I think he is a very easygoing person. Not somebody who comes highly opinionated and argumentative. Having said that, he knows what he wants. I think he reads a lot. He studies a lot. He is an incredible consumer of economic information and models, of market information. I expect the staff are going to have to answer an awful lot of questions from Chairman Powell because he's going to have them. And so I think while he has an easygoing manner, don't let that confuse you. He will come incredibly prepared and ready to act, at least according to his own view.
Tell us something about Jay Powell that we might not know from having gotten to know him in D.C. I know he grew up in D.C., went to Georgetown Prep and then Georgetown University Law School, then kind of started his Wall Street career before coming back into the public sector. Is there something that we should know about him that maybe the public doesn't know?
I don't know any great funny stories, if that's what you're asking. I will say something that might surprise you. I think Jay Powell has sharper economic intuition than many economists.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And, there's this fear out there that President Trump, who is not necessarily inclined to respect all boundaries, could be leaning on the Fed at some point, could think it's in his purview to dial up Chairman Powell and say, hey, maybe not such a good time for an interest rate hike here. Like, if that were to happen, I assume you think he would have the deftness to kind of parry that back. How do you think a Chairman Powell would deal with attempts to influence him from the West Wing of the White House?
Well, going back to something I said before, I think he has incredible political skill to parry those requests, whether they come from the president or from the Congress. And, presidents and Congresses do that sort of thing, before. It's not just President Trump. So I think he will do very well in that environment and gently remind people that the Fed is independent.
Very good. Okay, Glenn Hubbard, thank you so much for your insights into Chairman Powell. We look forward to talking to you again.
Good. My pleasure. Thanks.
We'll be right back with top moments from Chairman Jay Powell's House Financial Services testimony. But first, a word from our sponsor.
A message from Morgan Stanley. In healthcare, opportunities exist for innovations that help reduce cost and improve access to treatment and medication. These technologies may also promote inclusive economic growth. Learn more at morganstanley.com/inclusive technology. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC. And Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, members SIPC.
All right, welcome back. Let's run through the top clips from Fed Chairman Jay Powell's testimony today before the House Financial Services Committee.
Committee will come to order without objection. The chair.
Okay, so one of the biggest market movers from Powell's testimony on Tuesday was when he talked about the state of the American economy. He basically said he thought the economy was looking better. He talked about the Fed's December meeting and basically gave the economy an upgrade since then. That had markets thinking that Powell was trying to send a message that there could be more rate hikes to come in 2018 than everyone is expecting. Basically, Wall Street thinks we're probably going to get three rate hikes in 2018. Powell here was giving them the first warning that could, in fact, be four. Basically, if we have a lot of tax cut stimulus pumping into the economy, coupled with Congress spending a bunch more money, that's going to make the economy grow faster. That could mean slightly faster inflation. And the Fed, as we know, doesn't want that to happen too quickly, doesn't want inflation to run too hot, too fast. So he basically told Wall Street, get ready, there might be four Fed rate hikes coming down the pipeline in 2018. So what did we see? We saw stocks sell off a couple hundred points before the close on Wall Street, and we saw bond yields go up. That's basically Wall Street saying, okay, we may have to deal with a slightly more hawkish Fed chairman here. This is not Janet Yellen anymore, who was incredibly dovish, incredibly disinclined to raise rates quickly. This is a conservative. This is Jay Powell, who comes from the Republican side of the aisle. He might be more inclined to raise rates more quickly. So that was the big newsy takeaway from Powell's testimony. Largely, he was very measured. He was very circumspect and almost quiet and deferential in his testimony. But he came to Capitol Hill with at least one policy mission. And that was to say, you could get four rate hikes this year, so get ready for it. So let's hear Chairman Powell talk about his views on the American economy.
Every quarter, each participant in the FOMC submits a projection of what they feel is going to happen in the economy and also their projection for appropriate monetary policy. And at the December meeting, the median participant called for three rate increases in 2018. Now, since then, we will submit another projection, all of us, in 3 weeks. But since then, what we've seen is incoming data that suggests a strengthening in the economy. We've seen continuing strength in the labor market. We've seen some data that will, in my case, add some confidence to my view that inflation is moving up to target. We've also seen continued strength around the globe, and we've seen fiscal policy become more stable.
Okay, so for takeaway number two, let's talk about how Chairman Powell talked about the Republican tax cuts, the big tax cut bill that was pushed by President Trump and enacted into law at the end of last year, slashed tax rates on corporations by the biggest amount they've ever been cut, also gave individual tax relief. And this is a big partisan fight now between Republicans and Democrats. Democrats say these tax cuts are going to put money in the pockets of shareholders and big corporations, and they're not really going to help the average person have their wages go higher. So he was asked by Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky what he made of all of the bonus announcements that have been made by corporations, some of the wage increases that have been announced by corporations. This was basically a Republican trying to get Chairman Powell to cheerlead for the Trump tax cuts and say how great they are and how good they're going to do for the economy. There are a number of questions like this. Republicans trying to get Powell to be a partisan cheerleader for tax cuts. And Powell, who is a consummate politician himself, very deftly handled these. And he said positive things about the tax cuts, but he said it's very hard to trace exactly what impact the tax cuts are having now. It's not clear from the data how much the tax cuts are responsible for wage increases or bonuses or any of the other good things that are happening in the economy. So he didn't really give Republicans the soundbite they wanted for the tax cuts, but he certainly didn't criticize them. He didn't talk them down. He was asked repeatedly whether it was a bad idea to cut taxes and increase the debt and deficit. He wouldn't go there either. He talked in broad, vague terms about how we need to get our fiscal house in order long term, but he certainly didn't criticize President Trump, and he didn't criticize Republicans in general for deficit spending. And he demonstrated, at least to me and probably to a lot of people, that he's going to be really good at these congressional testimonies in parrying questions and not giving sound bites and only making the news that he wants to make and not that people on Capitol Hill want him to make. So let's listen to Chairman Powell talk about the GOP tax cuts in a response to a question from Andy Barr of Kentucky.
Thank you, Chairman Barr. It's very hard to trace through the effects of a change in tax policy into things like wage growth and the economy, but let me try. So if lower corporate taxes should lead to higher investment, and the effect is not easy to estimate, but you would think, and the studies find, that it should lead to higher investment. Higher investment should lead to higher productivity over time, and higher productivity should lead to higher wages over time. It's very hard to put your hands on exactly how much that would be, but higher productivity, of course, is very, very welcome and will be driven by higher investment.
All right, so let's go to the Democratic side of the aisle and talk about some of the things that Democrats tried to accomplish with Jay Powell. Keith Ellison of Minnesota tried to get the chairman to weigh in on the immigration debate, repeatedly pressing him about DACA and what would happen if we immediately deported 800,000 undocumented immigrants. As with a lot of other things, Chairman Powell really did not want to wade in on this one. He said at one point, "I'm really not going to get into the hot politics of immigration. It's not within the Fed's purview to deal with immigration." Ellison wasn't really having it. He came back at him repeatedly, came back at him pretty hard, and said, "Look, I know immigration is not your department, but the economy is. And what would you think the economy, how the economy would react if we all of a sudden deported 800,000 people?" And here is where Powell showed his independent streak a little bit, because he did weigh into it. And he said, "We should look at the economic impacts if that were to happen, if we were all of a sudden to deport 800,000 people." With the clear suggestion being that this would not be a great economic idea, that these are people who are contributing to the economy. For the most part, they're in jobs in service industries and in agriculture that are important to the American economy. And he didn't come out and say all this in so many words, but his basic response to Ellison was, "I hear you. I understand that it would be a big economic dislocation if we were to do this." So a slight message to Republicans and Congress, perhaps even the White House, that you might want to think a little bit about the economic implications if the DACA program were to go away and all of a sudden we had a much smaller workforce. Republicans will say, "Well, you know, there are Americans who will take these jobs and on net it won't have any impact on the economy." That's not what economists think. Economists generally argue that legal immigration is good for the U.S. economy, and drastically reducing the number of immigrants here now would be bad for the economy. So Powell is known as a fairly moderate. He's Republican, but he's not a hardline conservative. He's certainly not a hardline conservative on immigration. And we saw in that exchange with Ellison that he really did sort of lean towards a more Democrat moderate position on the issue of immigration.
So what I hear you saying is that taking 700,000 people, on 90% of whom are employed, out of the workforce could cause problems.
I'm just not going to comment on that particular situation.
Would you like to just talk about what it would mean to take 700,000 people out of the economy? Let's just say they all went to Mars for some reason.
In fairness, Congressman, I really am not going to get into the debate over DACA. I'm just not going
to
do that.
I'm not asking you to, sir. I'm just asking you to talk about the economics of it.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Let
me see if you can answer this. What does it mean to have a group of people in their prime working years suddenly disappear from the economy?
Well, all else held equal, you would lose some productivity from that, some output from that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, so our final takeaway of the day from Jay Powell's inaugural testimony on Capitol Hill, the new Fed chairman, was when he talked about the state of the U.S. economy and whether he fears that a recession is coming. There are a lot of people out there who think the economy is in the ninth year of an expansion. We've got to be getting a recession at some point soon. Well, not according to Jay Powell, who said risks of the recession are not really high at the moment. He's not too worried about it. That's mainly because of the tax cut bill. He talked about the impact of stimulative fiscal policy, the fact that Republicans are dumping all this money on the economy means that we're not really close to a recession. And this is really, at the end of the day, the big challenge that is going to face Jay Powell at the Federal Reserve, because he is going to face a recession. It may not be now, it may not be this year, it may not be next year, because we're getting all this tax cuts and federal spending and the economy is set to grow pretty well the next couple of years, but we haven't repealed the business cycle. Recessions do happen. He's going to face one. The question is, what does he have left at his disposal to deal with it? Rates are still very low. The Fed has ballooned out its balance sheet. There's a big economic data set that says the Fed just doesn't have the tools necessary to fight the next recession. You can't cut way below zero, and the Fed can't buy up a whole bunch more assets. So that's going to be a challenge for him. And if that comes, when that day comes and we have the next recession, he's basically going to have to punt the ball over to Congress and say, look, there's not a whole lot I can do here. You guys are going to need to spend a bunch more money, do stimulus, build new infrastructure. And the question is, will a Republican Congress, if we have one at the time of the next recession, along with a Republican president, be able to do that? Jay Powell will also probably face some kind of financial crisis over his tenure. Almost every Fed chair has faced one. Ben Bernanke certainly did in the Great Recession. Janet Yellen did with the aftermath of recession. Alan Greenspan had the blow up of the dot-com bubble. We don't know what that crisis is going to be, but it will come and Jay Powell will have to deal with it. Right now, he obviously sees nice blue skies in the economy, not afraid of recession, and that could last for a couple of years for him. But at some point, the recession's going to come, the financial crisis is going to come, and the real test of Jay Powell's Fed will come when that those things happen.
Flattening of yield curves in the past has been a sort of a precursor of recessions, but largely because in many prior recessions, the Fed had to raise rates quickly to hold inflation down. That's not the situation we have now. It's very typical for the yield curve to flatten as short-term rates come up, as the economy strengthens, and I don't see a particularly large. There's always a risk of a recession at any given point in time. I don't see it as at all high at the moment.
For today, Powell did a really strong job on Capitol Hill. He got his message across. You might get more rate hikes than you think. He didn't make big headlines for Republicans or Democrats. He didn't say anything that might upset the Trump White House. This was quintessential Fed speak. It might put you to sleep. You might find it incredibly boring, but that's part of what the Fed's job is, to not do a lot of surprises, get the market ready for what it's going to do on interest rates, and not rock the boat. And Jay Powell did not rock the boat. And that's it for this week's Politico Money. I'd like to thank my producers, Bridget Mulcahy, Micaela Rodriguez, and Dave Shaw. And if you like the show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Rate us and write a written review. And don't forget to send in your Ask Ben Anything questions. Catch you next week.